Future holds. Careful now, you're trotting on a twisted road. Now you never know. No, you never know. Wander through the future with a blindfold on your head, 'cause no one really knows the road that lies right ahead. But you could have a good idea of what is next to come, but just live up your life as a fucking rule of thumb. Because I've been given everything that I need, but yeah, I can't express the way that I wanna be. The expectations laid down by society, can we all just agree to disagree? Yeah. Twisted road, now you never know, no you never know. Don't get mad at me when I sing in what I see. We see this conflict through our eyes, this problem should not be. So organize your life, represent your rights, show unto the world that you're pleading yourself guilty. Can't you save me from under this seabed? Said I'm not the only one stuck in this position. Can't you save me from under this seabed? Said we're not the only ones who make this happen.
Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. And welcome to another Swoops World Primetime on a Thursday afternoon. How's it going, Peter?
It's going good.
Going great, and we're going to have our guest here, Gary Terrence Becks, joining us today, and going to get a chance to get to know him and say hello to the crowd there.
Hello. Much love, Long Beach, World Wide Web.
It's all good.
Great to be here.
Absolutely. Going to be looking forward to talking to him here in a bit. Last night was kind of a crazy night, huh?
It was. Yeah. It got a little wild and crazy.
Our last late night show of the year.
We
had an excuse, right?
We did. And we had enough alcohol to celebrate it properly.
Exactly. So it was fun. And then we had Larry Locke Henderson was our guest.
Yep.
And it was good to talk to him. He called in from New Jersey. Talking about his educational hip-hop. And really good guy, man. A lot of fun to talk to him and see what he's out there doing.
Yeah. I was a little worried when I first heard those lyrics. I thought, we might have a little bit of... Because some of it, as we talked about, not that his history was wrong. It was just a little bit fast and loose. A little bit. So I had me a little concerned that we'd be dealing with some, But he was cool about that.
He was cool.
I'm entertaining.
He's entertaining, and he's got a message he's putting out, and people are seem to be very positive with it, and it looks like he's got a good thing going. So best of luck to him, of course. So, I'll tell you what, man, why don't we take a quick break and then come back and introduce everybody to Gary and get talking about what he's doing these days, right?
Yar.
He's got some music out there. Well, let's play one of his songs. What do you think, man?
Sounds good.
Which one, Gary? Which one should we play? Which one should we fire up?
Well, you can play Heartland. The first one.
All right. You listen to Swoop Show Prime Time on the Talk Story Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
I won.
Upon your Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know, I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a sharp hole in the wall, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
And welcome back to Swoop's World Primetime, and our guest today is Gary T-Bex. How you doing, Gary?
T, how you doing?
Good, man, great. You know, we originally met on Twitter, man, Rivethead Rasta.
Yeah, it was, I believe we were connected like a year before.
Yeah, before we actually...
I probably have seen you on the street. Something, but, you know, I never would have connected.
Exactly. Until we walked in, and Lisa introduced us.
Just two other guys with drinks.
It's all good, man. But it's great to have you on the show, man, and get a chance to really get to know you. So, you know, tell our audience a little bit about you know where you grew up, and I know you do a lot of things with comics and, yeah. and music and all kinds of things. So, tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm born and bred in Washington, D.C. The home of Fugazi, Bad Brains, Marion Barry. You remember
him? I lived in D.C. when Marion Barry was a mayor.
Oh, yeah. They play that thing constantly over and over again. But the crack
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
I just got sick of it. Between that and the Redskins winning the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I'm born and bred in D.C. Basically, I started playing music around age of six.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my mom enrolled me in the Yamaha, it was like a Yamaha school of music thing. And I basically started playing keyboards.
Oh, cool.
What got me into music was I was watching Soul Train. Soul Train used to come on every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Scooby-Doo, Fat Albert, did Soul Train. And this was back during the day when they had... real live musicians. They had actually played live before they started going into the taped lip sync. You know, there was groups on there like Kool and the Gang and Mandrill and Tower Power, and that's what really, after I saw some of those bands play, I was like, you know, I really want to play music, you know. I started off playing keyboards, and eventually I hired into guitar.
Oh.
And I think that was because my family themselves, they didn't play any musical instruments, but they were very musically. They were, you know, they listened to a lot of records.
Right.
And, you know, they appreciated music. My dad was a jazz man, and he listened to nothing but jazz. His favorite musicians were like Stanley Turrentine and Freddie Hubbard. But that's all he liked. It was jazz and blues. That's all he listened to.
Yeah.
If anything else was like, whatever. But my mom was like the open-minded one as far as music. But we had tons of records. And, you know, my mom had a Golden Earring album. And the one with, what's the song? Radar Love.
Radar Love.
Yeah, she had those. And she also, the album that really got me into playing guitar was she bought the Monterey Pop Festival with Otis Redding and Jimi Hendrix. There's Otis Redding on one side, Jimi Hendrix on the other. And the Jimi Hendrix one, I think when I saw the movie too, and that's what really got me into, I want to play guitar. So that's what started my guitar phase. And, you know, after a while I started playing, getting, you know, a little bit of local gigs here and there around the DC, you know, Virginia, DC area. And I went to Berkeley. For 3 years, and I majored in electronic music. Berkeley is really cool. It's a really cool school. They have a lot of things people, you know, if you really want to learn, that you should, you know, take advantage of at the price it costs to go there.
Right.
You know, I majored in electronic music right when it was starting getting into MIDI. So we had the synth lab, which was chords all over the place. Because it wasn't quite, it was a more complicated setup since it was back during the 80s.
Right.
You know, we had the old Macintosh computers. And you had to save your stuff on that one else, because if you didn't save it, it just it off and crashed. Yeah. It was like the first performer or something like that. But I went to Berkeley for 3 years, and I got, after that, I didn't finish Berkeley. I decided to put this album out, which the song you played, Heartland, is off of that, which is called I Live to Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard to pigeonhole that album, because it was like a lot of different influences I had at the time. But that album's claim to fame was, at the time I was working part-time cleaning pools, and I was sending stuff everywhere. I sent stuff to the UK, and I got home, and there's this guy named Raymond Coffer, who was actually, he was the manager for Love and Rockets at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he liked the album that much, he called all the way from England, said, oh, I like the album, but I wasn't there. So, you know, it was one of those things, you had to be there. But I tried to get in touch with the guy. I just couldn't get in touch with him. So it was like one of those things, you had to be there at that time. You
had to be there and answer the phone,
yeah.
Right?
So then after that, I started slowly getting into, like, the rave scene, like, mm-hmm. in D.C., right, when it first started. And I knew people, like, I knew Moby before he got big, because he used to come and DJ down at this place called the Fifth Column, and he wasn't really that well known of a person before then, but that's when I started getting into the rave scene, electronic stuff.
And, yeah.
And so that was a whole new phase in my life too. Then in '93 I came out to Los Angeles because a friend of my dad's, a childhood friend of my dad's, knew a guy who was connected to Philip Morris in New York, and his brother, I think it was his brother, he was a rapper, his name was Jay Stroop, and he was pretty good. He was very, he had a really good stage presence.
Yeah.
And if the stuff was pushed seriously, he could have been something like on a level with Tupac.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is right now. I like to know where he is, but, he's pretty good. But that kind of fell through. But when I first came out here, also I had stuff, a little bit of stuff. I was on some compilations. And, I started putting out my own 12-inch dance stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I did pretty good. And as time went by, I basically met my wife in '97, and that's when I started. I was still recording, but it was more like I guess maybe it was her influence. I was starting. The art was coming out more. I've been doing art and comics for a while, but it was like always like a more like a less serious thing than my music.
Yeah.
And I started getting more into the art, and right now I haven't recorded any music for 3 or 4 years. I've been pursuing my art, and that's when I started getting into the comic the comic art and doing my comics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The mascara stuff and all the other stuff I'm working with.
Now, tell us a little bit about those are. What, are those considered graphic novels? Is that? Is
it's a right now. It's a web comic. It's on the web. It is going to eventually be printed up as a graphic novel. It's 64 pages mm-hmm. each. Right now, I have close to almost 800 pages.
Oh, really?
Online.
Wow.
I started it and put it on the web in 2007. But I've been working on the comic itself for at least close to 2003. So wow. The stuff that's on the web is a very small portion of the stuff I've done. I haven't put up there yet. So.
Let's take a quick break and then come back. I got something in my throat that's really rocking me up. So you listen to Swoops, we're on the Talk Story Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
And we're back right here with Gary T. Bex. So it's a webcomic. It's called Mascara, right?
Yeah.
And so do you have Tell us a bit about the whole process of that. I mean, you got to come up with the storyline first, or you come up with the character drawings first, or how's that work?
Basically, all the story, the characters and everything write themselves. All I have to do is, you know, have the enthusiasm and dedication to just actually get it down on paper, you know. Yeah. My ideas just flow because I really don't try too very hard to, because if I try hard to actually formulate a story, it's going to be like a blockade, you know, instant headache. The character Mascara itself was inspired by Janet Jackson, actually.
Uh-huh.
And that was when she put out that video called Scream with Michael Jackson.
Right.
And that was in 95. And the whole fashion, how she looked in the video, was inspiration for the Mascara character.
It seemed like they were in a tunnel or something.
Yeah. And it was like some animation. There was some anime stuff in there, too. But, you know, that was the whole inspiration for the character. And but I didn't really come up with the actual story or pursue the actual story until like early 2000, maybe 2001.
Yeah.
And from there I just started the story, and it just went on from there.
Well, I was looking at the stuff on your site there, and it's gorgeous work. I really like it, really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, when you're approaching, okay, I'm gonna sit down and work on this. Do you see it? Is it like there's a picture in your head and you're like transposing it, sort of deal, or you got to work it out? Do you like storyboard it or sort of thing? How's that go?
I see it. You see it, but okay. I just see it and I don't think about it.
Okay,
it's just like something, you know. I see it in my head and I just do it.
And then do you do one, because it's really clean, clean look. You know, sometimes you see comic book stuff, and my kid's into it, so I see a lot of comic book stuff, and it just is what it is, and there's just too much visual. Yours is really clean, lean. I mean, so I'm wondering, is it a one-time go, or do you really have to work it out?
Well, I draw it on paper first.
Okay.
And I get all the stuff I have to draw on paper first, and then I scan it into the computer.
All right.
And any stuff that I really don't, I wasn't satisfied with that I drew down, as I kind of touch it up in Photoshop, and that's what I do. That's what I do mostly, the colors and the tones on Photoshop once I scan it in. Then I add the words and text or whatever.
It's a great, just powerful images. I really.
And the colors.
And the colors. The colors, yeah,
amazing.
No, I didn't. I always, I think since 2007, my art's improved greatly because I've focused on that. Like I said, I haven't done too much music since then, but I think once I started focusing on my art, I think it really improved. You know, because before then, when I was doing art in the past, I really wasn't. I mean, I was serious, but I really wasn't that dedicated. So I really wasn't satisfied with the result.
Well, you mentioned how you started in music at such a young age. When did you start doing the art and the drawings?
Actually, I started. It was around I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah,
there was this summer camp back in Virginia called Brownie School Academy, and it was like a huge. It was like a few hundred acres. They had like 4 or 5 playgrounds, and there's one building. It's called the Greystone. It's actually a Greystone Romanesque looking castle building. Well, at the top, they had art classes, arts and crafts classes, mm-hmm. and you know, this one art class, it was like a free-form art class. Somebody drew the, I'm not sure if you know, the Galileo 7 shuttle from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody drew the Galileo 7 shuttle from Star Trek. It was like the perfect rendition of it. And I was like, wow, you know, I really want to do something like that.
Yeah.
But then I found, you know, I tried to do it. The thing about me is I was never good at copying anything. It always came out looking like crap. So, you know, I gave up on it. So, but and I think that's the reason why my imagination is so good, because I just work from total originality. You know,
right?
I was never good at copying anything. I tried so hard to copy that Galileo 7 thing, and it just didn't work. But that's when I was a kid, and when I was in high school, I started drawing again too. I was into heavy metal about that time. Yeah. Heavy Metal Magazine, which I got some stuff that's going to be published in them.
Cool.
And, you know, I started looking at Heavy Metal Magazine, and one of the few of the artists in there really got me inspired to start drawing again. One of them was like Mobius. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, Mobius. Mm-hmm. Belel was another one. He was a French artist too. A lot of his stories were in the heavy metal.
Okay.
He also has a movie called The Immortel. It came out like a few years back.
That sounds familiar. I think. That
was one of his stories, and you know, that's what really got me into drawing again. By the time I got in high school, but it was either that or the music, and I was pretty much still focused on the music. Yeah. Then, so. But I had started some early comics. Matter of fact, at the time I did my music, when I put this album out, there's a comic that I did alongside it called Brave New Rock. Sometimes you can find it, if you Google it, you can find it on the web. But it's I don't like, it's really terrible. It's terribly drawn. It's terribly drawn. At least in my opinion. I mean, there was some people that looked at it and said, oh, that's pretty good. I was like, they got to be BSing me.
I always find it amazing because when I look at like a lot of that type of work, and it's like, how did he even decide to put that, like, you know, metal plate on the side of the face or something like that? And it takes quite an imagination to come up with stuff like that, because otherwise it's just pretty plain, you know? But you
can do some things. So. Yeah, I don't know how other people do, but I know it's me. I just don't. The less thinking I have to do about it, the better.
Yeah.
I just let it flow, you know. But I, you know, there's a lot of people that I've been inspired by, like, you know, I like George Lucas and Jim Henson. You know, is one of my big time inspirations. I think that guy is a creative genius.
Yeah.
The stuff he's doing.
I don't know what he did besides the Muppets, man.
Dark Crystal.
I was gonna say, I bet you you're a Dark Crystal fan. Yeah.
Matter of fact, my wife was was it Fraggle Rock?
Uh-huh.
He did Fraggle
Rock. I remember Fraggle Rock. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the difference between what you're doing now and steampunk, or is that a little? Is it still in the same genre?
Well. The mascara stuff is not really steampunkish. You know?
Yeah.
If it's anything but steampunk, I started getting into 3D art, a few years back I started getting into that.
Yeah.
I found there's a program called Cinema 4D, which is a 3D program, which is, to me, it's like the easiest to use. I tried a lot of 3D programs and they're like really a headache, but that one's, I can use.
Yeah.
A lot of my 3D art is probably geared more towards the steampunk sort of thing. I have a certain series I'm doing for my 3D stuff. It's called the Constructionista, which is actually, it's like robotic females with tractor parts. It's like a simulation of that.
Yeah.
And for some reason I like tractors and hydraulic and stuff. That stuff sounds cool to me. It looks cool too. So. Yeah.
Very cool, man. Very cool. We're going to take a quick break and play another one of your songs. And let's see, what do we got here? We just played Heartland. So.
You can play Lido on. That's from the same album.
You got it. You listen to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Gary T. Bex. And this is Lead On. We'll be back after this. You better.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, this is Barry Rolera. You're listening to Swoops World.
Welcome back to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. Our guest is Gary T. Bex, and we're just kind of talking about a lot of his art and his music, and we just played Lead On. It was one of the songs he has on his... Was that a full album?
Yeah, it's I Live to Rock and Roll. Came out in... I recorded in 88.
Yeah.
I played most of the instruments on it, and it's me and my one of my best friends since sixth grade. His name is Adam. He's played some additional keyboard parts. Basically, I had fun recording the album. I always wanted to put out my own album since I, got out of was going into school.
Yeah.
And I had the one of the first things I had a four track before I was a freshman in high school, and it was a Porter Studio. The Tascam, little Tascam Porter Studios,
right?
And that's what I was recording my stuff on. Although I had, before that, was just recording them on a boombox. Because a long time ago, I had an Atari 400 computer. I see, the funny thing, I see 8-bit music is pretty big now.
Yeah.
But I got recording tapes and tapes and stuff I was trying to do on Atari 400. Because you had to program it in BASIC.
Right.
And some of the music, it was hell to record that stuff because you had to write the program for it. And I got tapes. I don't know where they are, but I got tapes of them, like awful Atari 400 music that I have recorded. But after the Atari 400, I got a Commodore 64, which actually had a better music engine in it.
Yeah,
and I actually got some decent music programs for that, so I didn't have to write the program out like I did the 400.
Yeah. When you're talking about just kind of how your drawing comes, it just kind of flows. You don't really think about it. Take us through. I mean, is this something you have to work on every day? Or is it you just kind of how does that work for you?
Well, I work on it from the morning, the time I get up, and almost the time I go to bed. I stop at 10. I make sure I have to stop at 10 p.m. I don't try to work it later than that, but I work on it every day.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I get up in the morning and look forward to doing, and every day I do it, I learn something new.
Right.
And I never stop really learning anything. So.
Well, I had a question. That just popped out of my head. I was going to ask, how's your work been received by critics and fans and all that? Do you get a lot of feedback, and has it been positive, negative? What's it been like?
It's been mostly positive. The mascara stuff is, it's gaining a momentum, slow momentum. But I've heard mostly positive stuff about my art, at least in front of me. I don't know what people say when I'm not around. It's been mostly positive.
Now we got a question from the chat room. It wants to know about a movie called Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm glad they brought that up. I had the same guy when I came out of here, when I came out to Los Angeles, was a friend of my dad's. He knew this guy called, his name was Fabian Cook, who was last time I saw him, he does sound at the Bob Marley Festival.
Uh-oh.
But he was hooked up, he got a publishing deal with Disney, and I did a song with him called Good Time, which ended up in the Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion movie. Because I'd done the song actually 3 years, 4 years before that,
mm-hmm.
but I forgot about it. And, I thought, like 1997, you know, I get this phone call. It's like, oh, man, we want to use it, your Romy Michelle thing for the, for this, I mean, your Good Time song for this Romy and Michelle movie. And, so I guess it was a last minute thing. And so it's only, it's in a part where they're talking over. It's like one of the club music or something right. like that.
That's dope.
Hey, man, it's there. It's another line on the resume.
On the resume, that's right.
I know when it came out, you know, my mom and my wife, they go, oh, yeah, there's your song in there. I haven't even watched the movie. I watched that part.
You know, right, right.
Watching that scene. Yep, that's mine. But you know, when you're talking about, I mean, we've talked to a lot of musicians about music and stuff like that, and how difficult it is as a musician to get your art out there. How difficult is it to get your comic stuff out there?
Well, right now I've since it's still on the web, I haven't really pursued in the procedures it takes to really get it out in the store.
Yeah,
I've been promoting it and. You know, I've made some flyers and, you know, put some flyers over Long Beach and, you know, I put them there and they're gone, so people take them, so they just know about them.
Yeah.
But most of the time, right now, I'm just drawing and, you know, just doing my art. And, you know, like I said, there's other people who I'm hooked up with who are, you know, I've got some stuff going with. So, you know, like as far as, you know, it's going to be printed up, the Mascara comic. It's probably going to be printed up pretty soon, next year, hopefully.
Excellent.
And there's people who actually have asked me, you know, well, when are you going to print this up, you know, into some physical, you know.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully next year, you know, I get that going.
Well, along those lines, I mean, comic books, usually, manga and all that type of stuff, usually there's a lot of collaboration that goes on, writers and artists and... have you done any of that, and how has that experience been for you? You like it?
Yeah. There's actually a story I have called Feeny, which was in the first story was in Heavy Metal Magazine January of this year.
Cool.
And the next one's going to be, in the next issue coming up. The guy that does the lettering, his name is David Paul. He wanted to do the lettering for Mascara, too, but I had gone so far into doing it myself, just do it myself, but I do a lot of collaborative stuff with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's very enthusiastic about, you know, what I do. And, you know, I'm doing a stuff project with him called Joseph, which is on Facebook. It's like a modern day take on Jesus and Joseph. You know, Joseph's like a construction worker, and Jesus is like his emo son. And there's two other people, Ruthie and Little D, who's the son of the devil, and he writes the story that I drew the characters.
Yeah,
and it's you know, it's pretty good. You know, I think it's just starting out, so I think it's gonna blossom into something. It's up on Drunk Duck, that webcomic. It's a webcomic space called Drunk Duck, and you know, it's cool.
Well, the entire comic community is really a tight group. I mean, I used to live right behind, the condo complex I lived in was right behind the Long Beach Arena.
Yeah.
So when Comic-Con went out there, I'd look out the back, man. It'd be thousands of people lined up waiting to get in to the convention center and stuff. So,
yeah.
And from what I understand, no matter where it is, it's the same response. So, yeah. I mean, and so it's really the people in that community are really tight and really active too.
Yeah, I've yet to go to the Long Beach Comic Con. I would like to, you know, eventually, you know, be brave enough to go there. Hopefully, I don't get lost.
When is Mascara gonna show up in War of the Independence?
I don't know. You have to talk to Dave Ryan. He does the. He's on Facebook. He runs Red Anvil Comics. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's going to print up the Mascara book. I'm not sure when she's going to be up here and then at all.
Yeah.
That was something that happened. He didn't talk to me about that. So you have to ask him. I know he said he was going to solicit for the Mascara stuff around War of the Independence number 4 or 3 or something like that. So it should, when he solicits for the distribution of the comic.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not sure when she's going to appear in the War of Independence.
Well.
Cool stuff, man. But like, you know, we were talking a little earlier. I keep finding little bits and pieces of you on the internet. Give us an idea of just some of the websites that you're associated with out there.
Well, I'm on the DeviantArt, which
I put that in the chat for anybody looking for a direct link.
Yeah, I go under the name Githos. If you put that in, did you put that in there?
I put that in there.
Okay,
it goes right to your DeviantArt page. Githos.deviantart.com.
Yeah, I'm also on Facebook, which is under Gary T. Bix. I have a friend of mine started a Mascara Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
Which is also just under Mascara.
Yeah.
If you search under Mascara, you'll find it. The actual comic Mascara is on Smack Jeeves, which is a comic. It's a server which you can host your comics on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you have that up. Or did you want me to give the?
You got it?
Yep.
He's got it, man.
I got it, man.
He's on it.
That's where all the webcomic is hosted at.
See, he's following the what do you call it, the job description of the sidekick.
My job. My job.
Yeah, I'm also the colorist of Ugly Studios, which is the collaboration between me and David Paul. He does the lettering for Joseph and Fiendy, which is it's the guy I'm doing it for, Jason Lennox, and we're all three of us are working together on this project. It's called Ugly Studios. Most of the stuff I think he's submitting to stuff that goes to heavy metal and other things. I you know, working as a colorist for them. I do a lot of coloring for them.
Yeah.
www.jasonlinux.com. He does a lot of the pencils for
at Lennox?
Yeah.
Lennox.com.
Drunk Duck is where Joseph is. Comic strip that I do with David Paul.
That's where it's located.
www.drunkduck.com/Joseph. He's also on Facebook too. So if you write Joseph Carpenter in the search on Facebook, you can find that.
When you said you're the colorist for someone, what's that process? They give you.
He sends me the.
The drawings?
Yeah, the drawing, the inks and the pencils, and I just color it in.
Is that all up to you with the colors you use, or does he have an idea what you want to use?
Well, sometimes he may have an idea. The first one I did for him is, you know, he told me what he wanted, so I just colored it, you know what he wanted. You know. And I just asked him how he feels about it. If he wants some changes, I just make some changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You try raising a teenager who happens to be the son of God. That's funny.
Yeah, we started that middle of the year. He basically came up with the idea. He had a dream about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I had this dream about this, you know, Jesus and Joseph thing, and you know, he asked me, did I want to make it out of a comic strip? I said, fine, you know. He has, you know, I started drawing the characters for him, and, you know, he was pretty much satisfied with what he saw. I like the comic. You know.
Yeah.
Have you got any feedback on that one from fans?
There's people who've said stuff. It's we just started it, so it's kind of, you know, sort of growing.
With the web comics, I know it's like, I don't know if it's still the same, but when I was collecting comic books, it's like a certain day of the week, the new comics would come out, and certain day of the month, certain comics would come out. How is it on the web? Is it the same thing? Do you try to put up something on a regular basis, certain days, and things like that?
Mascara is updated every Sunday.
So really?
I either do it, sometimes I do anywhere from 2 to 4 pages over the week.
Right.
And I'd, you know, try to get them done before the Sunday deadline. So that's, it's updated like every Sunday.
Yeah.
For Mascara.
And do you have any idea how many people are following, downloading, looking, reading?
On Smack Jeeves, it has a, they have statistics, and I think it's, I have a little bit over 700 fans on,
nice.
Smack Jeeves right now.
That's pretty cool, man. And,
there's another link. There's also, if you wanna download the Mascara, they're available as ebooks from wawio.com.
Okay.
So you can actually get the, it's like an ebook. You can actually put it in your Kindle or something like that.
Yeah, it's issues 1 through 12 for right now. Yeah. I have to work on the other ones and send it to the. It's connected through a distributor, and they're the ones that put it up on Wawio.
Yeah.
You know, Wawio, I'm making money off of it.
Very cool.
Which is good.
That's always good.
It's kind of hard to get a signed copy electronically. Then.
Well, I can give you a signed copy. Well, the heavy metal, I can give you one.
Yeah,
they sent me like a 5 complimentary issues.
Really? So, wow.
Yeah. And my music, if you want to hear that, it's off SoundClick, www.soundclick.com/noise-seduction. And that's NOISESEDUCTION.
I got it right? That's not right.
What is it?
NOIS. I lost you after that.
NOISE.
SE. Gotcha there.
SEDUCTION. T-I-O.
Right, I had it right.
You had it, man.
For some reason, when you said it, it didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't think I had the same thing you said.
Well, Gary, I mean, we did cover a lot. Is there anything that specific that we didn't get to cover yet that you wanted to let our audience know about?
Let me see. Oh, like I said, my wife is here, and she does art too. So.
And we tried to get her to talk.
She's hiding
out
over there.
She's connected to Long Beach Arts.
Yeah,
That's how we're involved in the community too.
Yeah,
She's a member of that.
You remember Catalyst? Catalyst Networks. What was it?
Long Beach Art. What did they call it?
I should know because we were there at the beginning, but I've drawn a blank.
Long Beach Arch is on Long Beach Boulevard.
And
they're trying to, like I said, looking for some members as well.
Yeah.
So that's how we're involved in the community.
Excellent. Now,
I just had she couldn't find anybody to volunteer. She's in charge of the volunteer room, and I just had a lot of my Mascara stuff that in the pictures I had, I just had a show down there.
Really?
Yeah. And, it was cool.
That's very nice. You got any other shows coming up soon?
Not recently. If I have something coming up, I'll definitely let everybody know.
Yeah, definitely. And what about your wife? You got any shows going on or coming up? She spoke. We got her to speak.
She is working on a vampire novel, which is cool. I read some of it. It's nice, cool. Nicely written. And I do want to work on something with her, but it's a pretty good idea, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my book into a graphic novel.
There you go.
Not a bad idea. That seems like a natural, marriage, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious, what kind of art do you have hanging around the house there?
You mean of mine or of hers?
Just in general. I mean, we stepped into the humble abode. What will we see?
Well, I don't know. Well, a few years ago, if you stepped in there, most people would run out.
Because as artists, we know there's. If you come to my place, you go to this place. There's plenty of our own stuff hanging around.
Because there was pictures. She did a picture of Frank Langella as Dracula, which is actually really good.
Well,
it looks just like him.
Yeah.
You know, and She also did a, it was like a project on Lee Harvey Oswald. That was, like, well, when you walked in our house, that would have been up on, when you came in the door, it would have been exactly to your left. And Frank Langella would have been right here. And there's a picture of Haile Selassie over here. So most people, when they come in our house, they didn't know what to think. And plus, she's working on some, it was like a full body devil sculpture she's working on. And she was like playing chess. I'm not, she can probably explain it better than me, but, you know, we had a whole countertop full of, like, sculpted devil-headed.
Okay, I got Lee over here, Oswald over here, Jack over here. Holly Selassie. Devil's over there.
It was a lot to look at.
Yeah.
That's not even half the stuff I even explained. Oh, yeah, Vlad needs to get a picture of that, too.
Yeah. Now, we have another question out of the chat room. Mr. Viral Movie.
Oh.
Don't know Mr. what that Viral. Means, but I'm sure you do.
Well, this guy, his name was Alex Boothby. He contacted me back in September, I think. He wanted to use one of my songs in his movie.
Wow.
It was called Mr. Viral. I haven't heard nothing yet, but it's supposed to come out in 2012. He's a director from Canada,
mm-hmm.
but he's done visual effects for, like, Fight Club and Black Swan, stuff like that.
Yeah,
cool.
He wanted to use the song for a club scene, but, and hopefully, you know, I'll hear from him.
That's very cool. So
that's what the name of the movie is, Mr. Viral.
Mr. Viral.
I think it has something to do with the porn industry. I'm not sure.
So you do next something that says "bow chicka wow wow."
Yeah. Well, that's sort of 70s.
Yeah, it
is. It's up on the Internet Movie Database. So maybe you can Google it. It'll probably explain more about it.
Yeah, IMDb or something. Yeah. Well, very cool, man. But Gary, I really, really want to thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem.
And just here to talk to you all day. You got some really cool stuff going on. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping busy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let us know what's happening, and especially if you got shows coming up or something, or about to be released, so we can let everybody know about it and put it on our website and all that kind of good stuff too. All
right. Yeah. Excellent. It was nice to be here.
That's a pleasure.
Thank you for ripping me out of my artistic cave world. I need to come out of there.
You need to come out every once in a while, right? Yeah. Come up for air. very cool. You listen to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network. We're going to take one more break, and we're going to wrap things up. We're going to listen to the last one by Gary that we brought in, and this one is...
This is the song of... It was an industrial project I had called Planet Anger. So this was recorded like sort of like in 2005, I think.
Cool. And this is Oversoul, right?
Yeah.
And we'll be back after this. We'll be right back. gosh. And welcome back to Swoops World on the Talk Story Radio Network. And that was called Oversoul. And that you said that was about, you wrote that, and that was part of the first album too, right?
No, that's, I wrote that like in 2005.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's like one of my newest songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's under an industrial project called Planet Anger.
Uh-huh. Are you not writing any music at all anymore, or you're just kind of taking a break or step away or what?
Well, her nephews moved in to our house in 2008, so I had to pack up all my
stuff.
I haven't recorded anything. The only thing I've been playing on is probably a 12-string guitar, which is now a 10-string.
It's just funny, because we had a guy here last week. And he had a 12-string, which was really an 11-string, because he was missing a string.
But now her nephew's wife and daughter are staying with us temporarily, so I wouldn't be able to record anything anyway, because the baby's just screams.
At will.
It'd be cool to record the baby. But, you know.
Yeah. That's all good. Well, that's going to wrap it for us tonight. Gary, thanks a lot for today. Thanks for joining us. And like I said, Happy New Year, everybody out there. Shout out to everybody that was listening in the chat room and those listening on the iPhone apps and whatnot and Droid apps and everything else. Appreciate you tuning in. And this is going to be it. That's our last show of the year.
We will see
you again next week. Let you know next week. Next week on Late Night. Wednesday night, the Heat Seekers will be with us, and on primetime, musician Normandy Wilson. Until then, have a safe and wonderful New Year's. We'll see you all then.
Good day, all.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.